Brother and I never did quite come to a full ending to this message. But I plan on having an ending, even if it takes 3 or 4 hours. So all I ask is just to bear with me. I titled this particular message for the day, Suddenly. Suddenly, there it was. Some years ago, at a Feast of Tabernacles, perhaps even more than 30 some years ago, my wife and I, my parents, who have long been gone, and a good friend of ours, we went to a very, very nice restaurant that specialized in fish, of all things. I remember that we all seemed to be having a good time. And as the Bible reads in 1 Peter 4:7, that the end of all things is at hand. Well, after 2 hours or so, so was the meal. I remember the waiter came. He cleared the table of our dinner and desserts and so forth. And then you left. And a few minutes later, a few moments later, he returned with a token of his expression that he gave to the ladies for allowing him to serve them. And I thought that was very nice. But then he gave to the gentleman, yes, that would be me and my dad, he gave us what sometimes was, and perhaps other places, is a standard item that one would have after a good meal. And that would be, I don't know if you've ever heard of it or not, a tipperillo. That is, a cigar slash that looked like a cigarette. Very thin, brown. I don't even know if it still exists or not. I don't go hunting for it. But I do recall that it definitely did happen. Brethren, I was not expecting that, for it literally, it came out of nowhere, or at least so it seemed, and it came out suddenly. I can remember he offered me the tipperillo, sir. And oh, my friends, it did look to me very desirable. As I automatically, as he reached out to give it to me, I automatically reached out and got it. Now, brethren, my dad, he took the cigar, and I believe at that moment he placed it into his pocket to smoke later on, for he did smoke. And yet my first reaction was, Man, I would love to have that cigar. And I would love to have it now. So as I said, I reached out and I took it. And I laid it on the table. And I began to contemplate this thought. Should I have it now, or should I have it later? This desire / temptation had blocked my train of thought for that particular moment. And it would take me a few minutes to realize the following as I was thinking. Alvin, old boy, old pal, you can't have that cigar now or later. That is, if you plan on obeying God's ways, what's the matter with you? Yes. The voice was very loud in my mind. Thank you. That was thank you very much. Anyway. But I asked a question in my mind, several thoughts. First of all, what is the matter with you? And then I started reasoning, Alvin. Now this is real fast, and they didn't know what was going on. Don't let your reasoning control your thoughts. Don't let the lure, the desire of all the bells and the whistles of this restaurant with the nice music and playing out someplace. Don't let the bells and the whistles help make you even want to desire that cigar or justify you to do this. Don't get caught up in the moment. Don't give in to your desire / temptation of this physical thing. Alvin, don't forget the Word of God. Don't pollute your body. Don't pollute your mind. Because your mind contains God's Holy Spirit. Don't let the desire of the flesh conquer you. Don't start this habit that may cause you harm to come later on. Not only physically, but spiritually. And you can read 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 later on. Have you ever been in these kind of moments of sudden temptation, sudden desire? What did you do? Now, brethren, my dad, he was a smoker, as I said. And he had been smoking all of my life, as I recall, and he probably had been smoking even before I was born. And at that time, he did not appear to be slowing down or even wanting to. So this wasn't necessarily a temptation or a problem for him. But it was becoming a problem for me. As I thought, what will I do? What will I do? And after a few more minutes pondering, I did come to a decision. I made a choice. That I knew would relieve me of the struggle that I was having. A desire I did not have a few minutes ago, till it was suddenly thrust upon me. And so, in the words of one of the greatest lawmen that I've, and I used this man before, in the words of the greatest lawman in this world, Barney Fife, of the Andy Griffith Show, not only did I stop pondering the situation, but I nipped it. I nipped it in the bud. I trust y'all remember that. I nipped it in the bud. So I gave this cigar to my dad. He still smoked, and I knew he would smoke his Tipperillo later on. So he might as well have mine for later on. Now, maybe that I shouldn't have done that, but I did it anyway. And so, not because of this particular one cigarette, but the fact that he would continue to smoke for years to come. He did, in time, develop a form of emphysema and some heart troubles. And in time, he would pay the price of smoking, I do believe, for that illness, emphysema, proceeded to give him a slow death. And so, in my opinion, each time he willingly gave in to that desire, that temptation, whether he would do it in ignorance or on purpose, it not only would affect him, but it would affect his family in that sorrow and the grief later on down the road. And it did. In Numbers 32:23, God made a very direct statement. Your sins will find you out. And it did. He enjoyed smoking. He desired it. And he did it. Especially as it may go against the way of God, we will sow what we reap in time. I sometimes have wondered As people give in to their temptations and desires, that God has taught will lead to problems. Do they care if it does, if it affects others, or even their families? Do they care if it even affects them? Because that desire is so strong. I even went to Webster's Dictionary one time. It refers to the desires and temptations that we go through. For the desire, to have a desire or a temptation, to have or to do, and I'm going to add to think something that we know that we should not do or have. That will, brethren, lead us, if we let it, to sin. And that could be sooner, or it can be later. It breaks God's law, which the end results, sooner or later, will be devastating. You know, brethren, there's a lot of people who know to do good. There's a lot of people in this world that know to obey the commandments. They know to avoid those desires that God says that we should not have, should not think of, should not let it get too far away from His truth. And if these desires continue, and they continue on, and anyone, brethren, and they never really understand the truth to the point to repent. People that never change, never fight those desires and temptations, and from the heart, there is not only our natural deaths that we will have to face one day, but there is always and will be a final death in the kingdom of God at the end of the second resurrection if people literally refuse to obey God. And I've always pondered that. How can someone get to that state having seen God's way? And will not repent. But ultimately, it is up to God what their fate will be. But I've also found out that in some cases, even if one repents on the road to change, repents of giving in to temptations and desires, but may very well have given in to it. One may very well receive the results that may occur because of sin. But brethren, God's law is automatic. It's automatic. He doesn't have to stay there and watch you. It will happen. Now, I want to paraphrase this for a few minutes about David. Though he was a man after God's own heart, you remember the story. Just picture it. David, one afternoon or evening, he walks out on his upper deck or his terrace, just looking around. And all of a sudden, as potential desires and sins can occur, he spots Bathsheba down below, taking a bath. Did she believe that no one would see her? I always wondered about that. Now, brother David knew God's ways. But yet he seems to have quickly gave in to a desire / temptation that just a few minutes ago was not there, and then it came out all of a sudden to him. Just much like that cigar did to me. The last thing I expected was that. But there it was. And it looked good. Where was David in his relationship with God at that time? Some were, brethren, that he wasn't supposed to be in his thoughts, at least for that moment. You know, David, he could have walked away. He could have walked away. But he didn't. And it seems that that desire had taken some time to pass before he even knew what he had done. He had to be reminded. What he had done. His desire for her had held on to him for quite some time. But in that time, he deeply came to a repentance. And then God would forgive. And all was well, wasn't it, brother? Well, no, it wasn't. For that baby that was born of Bathsheba was ill. And even though David repented, fasted, over and over, we know that that baby would die. Because you see, brethren, the desires that come to us and we give in and commit sin, sin's penalties are automatic unless God changes his mind. And he didn't in this situation. Brethren, other sins in this life may not reap results for quite a while till later on. And it can affect other people later on. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. Because the sentence or the penalty against an evil work, and sin is an evil work, is not executed speedily. And just because results may take time to occur because of sin, people, human nature, may very well reason, I've gotten away with this. 1 Timothy 5:24. The sins of some are rather obvious and happen quickly. But the sins of others do not surface until later. But we must remember, God says, your sins, your weaknesses will find you out. You know, brethren, it seems at times we can all be our worst enemies. Our free will. Sometimes it seems to tend to work against us. For many cling to the concept, so it seems. You can see this in the world right now. If it feels right, then do it. And that's the logic. Why? For there is a way that seems right to you and me. There is a way that seems right to people, to men. But it's that end result, sooner or later, will determine the fact. Were you trying to do God's way? Or were you trying to do your way? And man's ways and reasonings, spiritually speaking, will lead to death. For again, God's law is automatic. That's Proverbs 14, verse 12. And now, brethren, we come to where we are at. For soon it will be the Passover time. And we read in 2 Corinthians 13:5 a word that stands out every time you read it. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves. Are you in the faith? Yes or no? And consider this. Do you know your weaknesses? Do you know your weaknesses? Do you know how Satan can manipulate your thinking if you give in to it? Do you know that Satan can cause certain things to happen, like a sudden desire, and catch you off guard? Well, brethren, that cigar caught me off guard, but only for a few moments. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, and I'm going to read this from the Moffat translation we rarely use. 1 Peter 5:8, keep cool. Keep awake. Your enemy, the devil, he prowls like that roaring lion, looking at someone to devour. And brethren, he's hungry. And you look like a good meal to him if you give in. Therefore, you watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. And so, because temptation can appear suddenly, do not follow or put yourself in a situation you know you are weak in. Let me say that again. Do not allow yourself to put your own self into a situation you know you are weak in. You buy a 12-pack, a beer. Don't wind up drinking the whole thing. Don't go on the computer someplace you know you shouldn't. Don't listen to this gossip. Don't judge someone by their appearance. And on it could go. In Galatians 5, verse 16, it reads, walk in the Spirit. Know God's ways. Draw upon them, brethren, when desires, wrongful desires, temptations, start heading your way. And then you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Proverbs 4, verse 5 and 6. It says, get understanding. Do not forget my words, says God, or sway from them. How do we do that? Brethren, this is not new knowledge, but we may not apply it like we should. You study the Word of God. I know that. Well, you still study it. You don't know everything. And you pray always, constantly. You can be in a crowd. You don't have to move your lips. You can think. If there's a problem, pray always, for God's ways will be there when you need them, even suddenly. And hopefully for me, it worked. As we are to grow in grace and favor and understanding, as you allow God's Spirit, and the word is allow, God's Spirit to guide you, and we do that, don't we, brother? God wants you to know that you must do what you can do, to use what God has given you, so that you may resist the pulls of this flesh and to choose, if you have to, when something happens to you suddenly. Second Timothy 1, verse 6 through 7. Again, I use Moffat translation. Rekindle the gift which you received. For God has not given you a timid spirit, but one of power and of love and discipline of the way we need to be thinking. Of discipline. So know what to do. By knowing your weaknesses. And avoid as much as you can the situations you could be tempted in, if possible. You see, friends, God knows, and think about this, God knows He can only lead you to His way and give you His guidance through His Spirit. Brethren, you must choose to do your part. For in essence, just like that old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. God will not force you to do his way, because that would defeat his plan for you to choose his way. He will never force you. And let us practice Psalms 139, starting in verse 23 and 24. And when you read it, be very careful in what you ask for. Psalms 139, 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and know my thoughts, even when I don't. And lead me in the way everlasting. But in your mercies, Father, in your patience, for I am indeed flesh and blood. And so, brethren, when we face these desires of the flesh that may very well go against the contrary to God's teachings, I want you to remember this. And if you can't remember this, then remember what I think you will remember. When you face these situations, you nip it. You nip it in the bud.